We are family. Yes, yes, yes. Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living, Midtown Atlanta. I'm so glad you decided to spend some time with us today. I'm here to remind you that such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity. So am I, and so it is. So knowing that, I know and simply echo what Karen has already said to us or sung to us, that whoever you are, whatever your background, however you consider yourself put together in the world of time and space and physicality, you are loved, you are appreciated, and you are welcomed because we understand and know who you truly are. You are an expression of the divine. Having an individual experience, living in time and space, and celebrating all that life has to offer. So I welcome you, and I invite you to sit back and enjoy this day and this time together as you dig a little into your own consciousness, your own mind, for some resources and depth for handling what is going on in your world today. I would continue this by reminding you what we believe, what we teach. And we do that by sharing with you the Declaration of Principle, which is this. I believe in one God, one absolute power and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love and creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think determines, creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life and the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all, and so it is. As part of our services that we offer to the world and to one another, we have folks who have been trained, who have studied this teaching, the science of mind, and related new thought teachings, and have become quite adept at using consciousness and using the changing of our minds to change our lives. They do this for themselves, and we have demonstrated that in so many ways. And they also are able to do it for other people because there is only one mind and we're all sharing parts of it. So in preparation for that work, they become licensed and then they become practitioners. Each week we have a practitioner share with you something of their thoughts, their ideas, and lead us in an affirmative prayer. This morning, Lee Huffman will lead us in that prayer. Good morning, Lee. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you, Bob. Mm-hmm. The reading that I'd like to share today actually comes from the book, let's see if I can get that in there, 365 Science of Mind, which many of us are reading through. And I've read this through several times. It's a daily reading by Ernest Holmes. And I jumped all the way to the end of the year, to December 28th. And so if you have the book, you can pick it up and turn the page 383. And the title is, Today I Speak My Word, Knowing That It Will Not Return Unto Me Void. There are three scripture lessons here. The first comes from Job 23:13. He is in one mind, and who can turn him? Speaking of God. The second comes from the Upanishads. Mind is Brahma, for from mind even are very verily born these things. My mind, when born, they live. Then the third, and I'll come back to the second one. The mind, then, is not separated from God's essentiality, but is united into it as light is to the sun. As a light is to sun, our mind is like light is to sun. Our thoughts are powerful. And I want to jump down in this rather than reading the whole thing, that Jesus Christ was a light into this world. And Emerson t- tells us that there is one mind common to all individual people. So we all have the same mind in common. We are all connected through this essence that is God. To practice the presence of God is to practice the presence of perfection, of wholeness. This perfection is, and this wholeness includes joy, peace, and the fulfillment of every legitimate desire. Hermes said that our mind is united to God's essence as a light is united to the sun. Think about that. Radiating out of the sun, out of God's mind, is our mind. So we are extensions of God. And I think, rather than read the whole thing, that it is so pertinent today to understand, as we just read, as Bob just read and reread together, all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. And I'm constantly asking those closest to me to remind me when I say something negative, when I say something that's not good, when I speak something that is not powerful about someone around me. And I think that's so important in this day when there's so much contention around us. So I just raise that as a principle that we have within our belief system, that all thought is creative and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. And so now we go into a spiritual mind treatment. And what is a spiritual mind treatment? Treatment is the conditioning of the mind. It's helping us center our mind on what we know, what we believe, what is true, rather than all the garbage that comes in from elsewhere. And so when we treat for someone, we say it in the first person. I cannot treat your mind. You can only treat your mind. So when I say a treatment, I will say it as an I am statement. And you can take any part of it that fits with you, and any part that doesn't, just let it go. So think on these things. Know these things with me. Let's take a deep breath and relax a bit and go into treatment together. Maybe another deep breath, because it might have been a little bit stressful this morning. And know this with me, if you will. There is one God, one source, one creator of all that is here now in my presence. That God is pure love and creates out of everything that is love. He creates me and those who hear this and those who are around me out of love. I am an extension of God because he created me. I am one with God because she loves me. I know that my word is powerful and that my word creates my experience. So I am careful with my word. I speak my truth knowing that it will come to pass. I speak my good of all those around me. I know that those I speak of are good. I know that those I speak of are God. They are extension of God. I speak good into my present and my future situation, knowing that God hears my words and makes all that there is in my universe to create the situation that I speak of, that I think of, that I desire. I'm considerate of all that I say and all that I think because they are powerful. I claim good for all those who hear these words, for all those around me, for all that might influence those around us. I release the words of goodness into the universe, knowing that they will create the best for everyone. I know this is true. And I know that as I think these thoughts, they will come to pass. And together we say, and so it is. The song afterwards, after this, is You Are Truly Loved by a local Atlanta musician, John Stringer. Thank you. Thank you.
I love Dale's question today about what can I give? The answer about being the one who sees with eyes of love and sees perfection beyond the appearance of things. To me, that's a type of vision that's rare in the world of form. But we can all be that friend, that brother, that sister, lending that presence. It's rare to find a friend that's genuine, that's everything a friend could be. I hope you understand that I am grateful, I am thankful that you've become that friend to me. I pray that God gives you everything you want and everything you need. I pray he blesses you and yours with extraordinary peace. And we are here to celebrate you and all the things you mean, and to show you you are truly, truly loved. You see, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, you're truly loved. You see, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, you're truly loved. You see, truly loved. You see, it's rare to find a friend that's genuine, that's everything a friend could be. And I hope you understand that I am grateful, I am thankful that you've become that friend to me. I pray that God gives you everything you want and everything you need. I pray she blesses you and yours with extraordinary peace. And we are here to celebrate you and all the things you mean, and to show you you are truly, truly loved. You see, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, you're truly loved. You see, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, you're truly loved. You see, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, you're truly loved. You see, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, you're truly loved. You see, it's rare to find a friend that's genuine, that's everything a friend could be. I hope you understand that I am grateful, I am thankful that you've become that friend to me.
Her name was Harriet Tubman. You know her name. Her absolute commitment to freedom, her willingness to risk everything for that, to be out of the world of slavery, led by her intuition, by her awareness of God in her own understanding and way, that guided her through the Underground Railroad again and again, bringing herself, her family, and many, many, many others into freedom. Never caught, never stopped. And following her, finding that freedom, rather than simply settling down and enjoying it, she went back into the war effort for freeing more and more people. She was the first woman in America ever to lead a military excursion, plan it, put it together, gather the troops, and go after some folks in South Carolina to open it up and bring them out into freedom. Say their names. He was an obsessive, compulsive, perhaps anal retentive monk who in the 1500s began to realize that no matter how much he repented, he could never be completely perfect and free until he read the scripture and discovered that righteousness was a matter of grace, not paid for penances, nor was it a matter of indulgences offered by an organization, but freely offered by God himself. So he nailed his 95 declarations and was one of the key players in the beginning of the Protestant Reformation and the revolutions that came along with that and the huge change in Western culture that it was guided. 450 years later, his namesake, Martin Luther King Jr., led a whole people into a movement of nonviolence and into a movement of declaration, I have a dream where all people are seen and known and equal. All of those people, from Martin Luther to Harriet to Martin Luther King Jr., the influence of who they were and who they are has continued to resonate down through history and down through us. They, in many ways, are more powerful and more influential now than they were at the time of their lives when they were physically here in the world with us. I think of the many, many people in my life and the people in your life, perhaps, who have influenced our thinking, who've influenced our spiritual paths, who've influenced our psychological and emotional paths as we have been touched by their consciousness. And when we say their names, we tap into that whole world of knowledge and understanding and appreciation and gratitude for who they were. Names like Emma Curtis Hopkins, known as the Teacher of Teachers, who taught many of the founders of the whole New Thought movement over 100 years ago, at a time when women were less likely to be leaders, and yet she led, she traveled on her own by herself, and she taught students all over this country. She was also a shaker and mover in the women's suffrage movement. Harriet Stovall Shinn, another of those great teachers, mostly focused around Philadelphia, whose works I've read and have been touched by, whose absolute faith in life unfolding according to our faith was so important in shaping the consciousness of this country. His name was Ernest Holmes, the founder of this teaching. His name was Raymond Charles Barker, student, colleague, actually, of Ernest Holmes, and the teacher of my teacher, whose name was Kennedy Schultz. And on and on and on it goes. I hope you are thinking right now as I'm talking of those names of the people who have influenced you. You know, not just historical figures, perhaps, but people you know, people you've known, people who may or may not still be on the planet with us, but whose lives are still highly influential in yours. I think of some uncles and some aunts, and I think of some others who really guided my development, who implanted ideas. My father, who implanted the idea that having some kind of relationship with God, understanding something about this thing called God, could transform your life because I saw it in him. I mean, think about that in your own life. So, why is it so important to say their names? Why does it matter? You know, we're at a time in history we've never been in before. Obviously, we always are in a time we've never been in before. That's not so profound. However, we are in a time that is quite different from anything we've experienced. We've just been through over a year of isolation from one another, of finding ways to stay safe and stay apart and stay separate, finding ways to survive in the midst of that. We are very fortunate that this came along now and not even 20 years ago, because we have the internet, we have delivery, we have all kinds of resources available that we've used and actually heightened and used in a greater way this year. And now it's time to start looking at and thinking about, how are we going to come back together? How is coming back together going to look the same and or different? I went to a wonderful dance recital last night by my granddaughter was in, and we had it in the parking lot. Everybody brought their lawn chairs and we sat out there and they danced and they had music and it was rich and wonderful and fabulous. And the only thing we missed was air conditioning. Coming back together, finding ways to come back together. And one of the really powerful ways of coming back together is remembering and saying the names of those people who you have a connection with inside. It's kind of an opening your heart experience to remember them. And if some have recently passed on, it could be a painful thing to remember because we're still dealing with grief and sadness and loss. And yet, if we can still face and walk through that, we begin to realize that behind us, all of us, stand multitudes of supportive, loving people who have brought you to this moment, to where you are. People who were just perhaps doing what they do, not trying to do anything special, not trying to be something for somebody else, but just living their lives according to their desires to do so. In the 1980s, I gathered in a tiny little apartment with a group of men, all students from Emory University. We were in the Candler School of Theology, and we were starting to have a conversation because so many of our gay friends were dying or were sick, and no one quite understood what was going on or how it was going on, and the government didn't seem to be paying attention, and no one seemed to be paying attention, and they were dying, and they were starving, and they were going through horrible life experiences. And we got together and started talking about, how can we help? What can we do? And we started gathering resources for food and dividing up the people we knew and taking food to them and making contact and having human experience and human contact. We weren't doing anything to start a movement. We were just trying to help our friends. And in 1981, out of that group, a leader emerged whose name is Graham Burton and became the first leader of the Atlanta AIDS Coalition, the AIDS Center, which has grown and grown and grown and grown. And by our doing that and starting that, we began to get the attention of the political world. They begin to look at this thing as, maybe it's not going away. Maybe it's not just a gay disease. And maybe there are lots of wonderful people involved in being affected by it. The Names Project. That was where we really saw the power and importance of saying people's names. I don't know if you ever attended any of those rallies, but we would gather in the park and in other places and just read the names of the people who had been lost. And suddenly the statistic turned into not just a number, but real people who mattered. Real people who brought such love and such wonder and such joy to the world, who were now gone. The first time I stepped up to the quilt, which was another way of honoring people's names, we made quilt squares for each one who'd passed on. each one was some unique thing about who they were and how they contributed. And when the and by 1987, it spread for the entire length of the mall in Washington, D.C. And was totally overwhelming to see that. Overwhelming in the sense of loss and overwhelming in the sense of gratitude and appreciation for all of those individual people. And we've gone through the same thing again with COVID. We see the statistics, and you can argue back and forth about which ones are right and whether it's politically correct or incorrect and what should be counted and what shouldn't be counted. But the never mind, the truth of it is millions of people have died. 3 point something, according to one statistical counting. And that number is kind of meaningless until you think about the names of those individuals that you know, who are not with us anymore. Now, my point here is not to drag us down into some deep sorrow, but it is to recognize the power and importance of everyone in our lives that have influenced who we are and how we go and how we grow and how what we become. And naming names is so important. You know, the ancient Jews never put a name on God. They always said that the I am that I am, that which is not speakable, that which is not contained, because the belief was, and as is true in many cultures, that when you name something, you name what it is, you put a box around it, and you plug it into your system of who you are and what you're thinking. So how could you name the nameless? How could you name an infinite power? We call it so many different things. We call it God. We call it spirit. Many people call it the Christ. Many people call it the Buddha. Many call it many, many, many different names. Because none of those names really grasp and capture or encapsulate what that infinite power that's within all of us really is. All they do is point toward it. The Eastern Orthodox Church has the right idea in some ways, because if you've ever been in one of their churches, you know the gorgeous and beautiful pictures that are put together in mosaics, and they are kind of iconic. We call them iconic because they aren't intended to be realistic depictions of what the people look like, the disciples, the Christ, the angels, all of that. But it's intended to be an iconic picture. In other words, an icon is a lens so that you can't capture the individual. You can't capture the realistic picture of the physical self, but a lens into the possibility of who they are and all of the various possibilities. So we use names like the infinite. We use names like, as my friend does, Big Sweetie. Or whatever name you use for that infinite something, the name simply gives you a window, a lens into looking at and experiencing and feeling and knowing all that that's about, the infinite, the power, the goodness, the love, the freedom. In fact, in some ways, all words are simply icons that point to something far greater than the word itself. So, when we call it a name, we do not pull it out of reality into ourselves. We simply connect ourselves with the greater reality that that name represents. So when we name our teachers, I often say Kennedy Schultz was my teacher, because he was. He was my first teacher in this program, in this teaching, in this idea. I had many teachers before him that led me, prepared me for what was to come in meeting and participating in his world. But when I say that, it opens up a whole world. Anyone who knew him knows what that means. They know the kind of philosophy, the kind of thought, the kind of things that he taught. So it connects us. It gives us a way to be connected, not only with him and with his ideas and his thoughts, but with one another. That's why we name these things. We name them. We call ourselves Methodist and Baptist and Presbyterians and New Thought people and religious scientists, and on it goes. Because as we name those things, we establish not only the memory and thought of the connection, but the reality of it, the experience in our consciousness. So all of those people in your past, all of those things that have led to all of the goodness in your life, to everything that brought you to this moment, that are standing behind you or standing within you as well in your consciousness. And they're inviting you to be the greater you, to be more. They are looking through and inviting you to look through that window of yourself. It's a great exercise. I did it a couple of times this week, and I kept adding to it. I'm still adding to it. Started back to my earliest thoughts and memories of what really the first ideas that shaped my life and shaped my thinking and feeling and how I would be in the world. And I started naming the names of who those people were. The folks who I knew loved me, the folks I knew didn't love me, the folks I knew that taught me some things about how to live that were not the way not out of emulation, but out of wanting to be the opposite. And as I started naming those people, I realized all of those folks are still with me in my memory, in my consciousness, in participation. Every time I do something, whether I'm aware of it or not, that is coming out of a decision I made in relationship to them, I'm connected. My old therapist, my ancestors, my parents, my uncles. I have plenty of uncles, lots of uncles. So I have lots of good memory and connection with those people. Huge family. Most of them are not on the planet anymore. In fact, none of them are. Doesn't matter. They are still on the planet because they're still operating in me, as me, through my life, bringing great insight, joy, freedom, argument, misinformation sometimes. See, there's such power in naming names to ourselves, to others, to say, this one mattered, this one mattered. Because as soon as I say that, I'm no longer alone. I am aware I am no longer alone. I am aware I am now connected and connecting with all of that world of history within me, all of that world of thought and ideas and passion and love that is within me. And if I can make that connection, then I'm a short step away from connecting to you. Whoever you are, wherever you are, however I find to do that. I'm a short step away from connecting as you will be and are to those people around you. You know, this is a time where many of us have created bubbles to get through this last year and a half. I had a bubble. I had a couple of bubbles. There were people I was with and could be with, and we kept each other safe, and we operated according to an agreed upon set of safety activities and behaviors. And then we could be together. We could see each other. We could bump elbows. We could hug in a few cases. And that was rich and wonderful. Well, now we're looking at how do I blend my bubble with your bubble, or how do these bubbles begin to come back together in a way that is celebratory, is safe, it brings the best of who we are, not back to the rat race or whatever back to we keep talking and people keep talking about, but that really brings quality and richness to our lives, to my life, to your life. And the place to start is to feel those connections in myself, to get clear about those connections, and to recognize I am not doing this alone. It is not Bob Dean by himself having to reconnect with people and trying to figure out how to do that. I am part of a cluster of consciousness, all stacked up and piled in together, that already is connecting and connected with an infinite power, and therefore can easily find those people and those places and those opportunities that will connect even further outside of my physical self. New friends, I love that song before my talk. Real friends, friends that will be here no matter what. Friends, whether they're physically present and close or not. I have rich, wonderful friends all across the globe. And that's a rich thing. It's a nice thing. It's a good feeling to know that I am loved. So see, this idea of getting connected, getting clear, remembering who we are based on not just our individual story, but based on our influences, based on those people who have connected with us, those people who have become part of us. There are two things that it kind of connects with that I want to share real quick. One of them is Holmes' quote, Ernest Holmes' quote, that says, Spirit does for us, God does for us by doing through us. It cannot do for us from outside of ourselves. It must be through us. Which is why if you want a greater experience of love, you got to love. It's so interesting when people want, you know, come for treatment or they talk about getting treatment because they want loving relationships and yet everybody stinks and they're terrible and they're awful. You got to find the way to love yourself outwardly as well as those others in order for love to come back to you, in order to even recognize it when it's in your life. And, you know, and whatever that sort of flow is, it's working through us. I want passion in my life. I want connection in my life. I want to be fully engaged in my life. I'm done with sitting behind a computer. I'm ready to see some people and be connected. You can only do that through me, not to me and not for me, but through me. So I will find those moments, those points where there's something that's drawing me to get involved. There's something drawing me to do, something that feels safe and appropriate and comfortable and right for me. And I'm speaking for me in the generic big term, for me, for all of me, for all of you, for all of us. We find those places. One of my favorite writers and theologians from my years at Emory and my years of study is Howard Thurman. Look at what he has to say. When it comes to getting involved, finding your place in life, don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive. And then go and do that. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. That's what Harriet Tubman did. She didn't do this thing because she thought the world needed to be rescued. She needed to be rescued. So she got out there and used her intuition and got herself into a safe world, safer place. And then used that to invite more people in, her family first and others beyond. Martin Luther the same way, Martin Luther King the same way. Find that thing which excites you, that brings you to life, and that you're willing to live for. And that you want to live for, that you're willing to put your time and energy, because that's your life. You have time. That's really all we have in this world, in this time and space, is we have time. So what are you willing to live for? What are you willing to put your time into? Because it will serve you well, and it will bring great joy and great goodness to you and to the world as a side effect, and a rich and powerful side effect. The only question is, does it bring greater life and livingness? And does it do no harm to anyone? And if that's true, and it does, then you're in for a fun ride. Because you're wonderful, and so am I, and so it is. Thank you. I appreciate this opportunity and this time to share my thoughts with you. Now I would like to bring back Lee Huffman to share with you some things about how you may support this center if you're finding this useful and helpful, and he will also share some announcements after that. Thanks. You're muted. Hi, Lee. You're muted.
There we go. All right. These things happen. It's been a technology 3 months for me. But anyhow, thank you, Bob. That was a fantastic talk. And it is so important that we recognize the people that have come before us, that have laid the foundation for us, and that have given us the direction to move forward. This center is a very special place. It is now spread throughout the world through the power of Zoom, and it has been a very special time. And it's a time to support the center, and there are many ways to support the center. You can go through the online site that is now on the screen, and you can scan if you'd like to get to that site. And there, it's just whether it's a special donation or you want to become a member that is continually contributing, that is your choice. But we want to support the center. So what we give comes back to us multiplied abundantly. So let's join in the affirmation of prosperity. If you will, read this with me. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. So there are still in this remote situation that we're in, there are things that are happening, and we'll get a list of those here shortly. The whole theme for this month, as this month is winding down, is Holy, Holy Uprising. And Reverend Dean is away next week, and I'm very excited to have Reverend Raymond Anderson on board and speaking. It's going to be phenomenal. Boldly Living a New Story. So please join us on Zoom and on Facebook. I know some people are looking at it through Facebook Live. And so on Tuesday afternoons from 12 to 12:30, there's a check-in time for us to get online. And the Zoom ID is there. And you can get online and just join us for a quick check-in. Wisdom Wednesdays go from 7 to 8. And the 26th is going to be facing anxiety. There's a lot of anxiety as we come back together as communities and as we get through this pandemic and things get good. So I want you to join that. And there are some other meetings there. Please come back and join us. The adult study group starts at 10 o'clock on this Zoom link. And please join that. You can get to all those through our website. And practitioners, I've listed mine and other practitioners have listed theirs on the various sites, their phone numbers, their email addresses. If there's anything that you need in prayer, please go to the website or go to one of the practitioners directly and ask that for them because we are here to serve you. So I want to thank you all for joining us today. I want to thank Bob for an amazing service. And I'll turn it back over to Bob for a closing.
Yes, thank you for being here. Thank you, Lee. That was wonderful. Appreciate your help, your support. So I invite us to share together in the affirmation of life. But before we do, we are early, a little early today, which is a good thing. And I invite you to come over and join us in the Zoom room. You saw the contact there. You can also get it from our website really quickly. Because I want to us to have a bit of a conversation about who you name as your spiritual heritage, your leaders, your teachers, your guides. And we'll just have a brief time of that, talking about it, a little coffee, and I'll see you in the see you over there. So here's the affirmation of life. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. See you next week.